Blog Talk Radio.
This is Psychic X-Ray Man here on Psychic X-Ray Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you? And if you want to give a call in here and get a free reading, yes, I did say free reading, give us a call at 646-721-9031. Also, with the situation of things going on, we also like to give a nice little shout out to our sponsor, Richard Palenga, who actually has a website called DivineBodyWatch.com. Again, that website is DivineBodyWatch.com. It's a spiritual products, natural products. If you're the ideal of getting on the spiritual lifestyle or the spiritual path, they're always looking for ways to make everything more natural, more spiritual. So this is a great way to do it. So check out this website, DivineBodyWatch.com. And Richard says for all of our callers, for people who donate $25, he'll give you a bottle of body wash. And also if you donate $35 or more, he will give you a bottle of body mist. So give it a shot. Go and check them out. They're great products and that kind of stuff. And the idea of what you can get just for a simple donation, you can also get a product to help you out in the situation of being more spiritual and more natural. And also continue in the process of supporting a show with the idea of keep continuously giving out the spiritual message and tapping and touching people and the process of us all working together to make a difference in a positive way on this planet, to help people understand that the idea of awakenings is not always in a negative way. It's always a positive thing to actually see things more clearly and look past the illusion. So give us a call. If you want to donate to the show, just give us a call at 740-500-8863. Or give us a call through Skype at 740-601-9835. Or contact us through the website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And take a look at the situation. Tonight we're going to sit here and go over some things with suggestions that you can write in your journal and that kind of stuff, or giving some samples and that kind of stuff. And there's a book that I was actually working with, and it's a really good book. It's called The Abundance Book by John Randolph Price. I knew it was here somewhere. Anyway, in the book itself, it has a certain way of denouncing the ideal and also focusing on the truth of what is your support, what's your substance, what's your supply, and where that comes from. You know, it's one of those things everybody's sitting out there raising their hands going, I know. Maybe you do. But then again, maybe you don't. Anyway, like I said before, we're doing free readings tonight, and also the idea of free readings, I also do private readings, and private readings also are, we do free readings on the show, okay, guys? And if you look in the chat room, you will see I will sit here and look at the idea. Also, I need to do one thing, too, is welcome everybody in the chat room, too. If you get a chance in the chat room, see the information and give us a call here on the show and share your story with us and talk with us and that kind of stuff. As we're waiting for the queue to show up, we invite people to call in from time to time and just to voice their opinions and talk and actually share their spiritual message with everybody here on the air and everybody with the show. So give us a shout, give us a shout, and we'd love to hear from you. That's a good question. It's Friday night. Where is everybody at? You know, it's like when we sit and talk about it before the other day, and we actually had a subject we were kind of crossing too, the idea of Wiccan and witches and that kind of stuff, and it was just the idea of my opinion of looking at the situation, what true magic is to me, is the magic that we do on ourselves, the idea of changing. We want to change the world. We want to change the format. We want to change things, circumstances, and that kind of stuff, and we all know where it starts first, is the idea of changing within ourselves. And also reconnecting to you. God, yes, so thank you. So we sit here and look at the situation, and the subject was witches, Wiccan, and the idea of rituals and that kind of stuff. And realistically, when you sit here and listen, and I was saying, we're just talking to some people about the situation, getting some inputs, and the one thing I kept on hearing over and over again was them actually using these spells to actually manipulate because of the fear of not getting. Like, for example, love spells. Of saying, you know, if it wouldn't have been for this love spell, I don't think I would ever get back with this person. And you know, look at yourself and go, isn't that kind of a lack in yourself? The person should love you for who you are. So maybe the ideal of what we call about working on ourselves and the ideal manifestation is the ideal of changing that insecurity within yourself and changing things very clearly and saying, okay, what's up? Like right now, we take a focus and we visualize. We go, okay, angels, archangels, ascended masters, I ask for your help. And the idea of a nice intervention here to bring people and guide them to find this show right now to fill up my queue. So therefore, I have all these people to actually work with and do readings for because I can't redo readings and I really can't help anybody unless we can actually be the magnet that draws them to us. So therefore, I am a mighty, mighty magnet and I draw every good thing to me. And right now I would like to draw to me all those people that I can actually help with the answers they're seeking to fill my queue and my chat room up right now. So therefore, it's one of those things of looking at the situation and realizing, thank you now for all the callers and all the people in the chat room, and thank you for a fantastic show and everything's going good. I also ask for 4 guardian angels on each side of my home and to also be on location, surrounding me with nice protection, healing energy, healing of my own things, and help me to see the connections, not just benefits me, but it benefits you, as in the situation of all walking away, being blessed. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. So we sit here and look at the situation. What we're doing here is trying to focus on the positive outcome, positive solutions. We're sitting here talking about the Abundance Book. The Abundance Book has a 40-day plan in it. And what it does, it goes over certain little things and that kind of stuff to change your subconscious mind. So therefore, you can perceive and see things in a different way. So therefore, the manifestations become more fruitful and you get less frustrated with the idea of always finding a solution of why things are not working in your favor. The solution could be simply just tweaking things, looking at everything and going, hey, maybe I just need to reformulate the whole thing and realize what I really do want. You know, it's like one of those things we said before. Are you manifesting things because of what the world tells you you want, need, and desire? Are you actually focusing on the wants, needs, and desires that you really do want, need, and desire? It takes really, sometimes it takes some extra work to get things cleared and that kind of stuff. So, you know, be open-minded and willing to go where it takes you. And the ideal, realizing that in the process of pursuing the ideal spiritual lifestyle changes and looking for the right meditation or the right practitioner to work with or the right psychic or the healer or whatever it is, and then you sort of say, I don't have anything in mind. Well, you know, you should look at yourself and say, hey, that's an excuse. Because in the process of changing one's life is also the idea of changing one's perception. Why does everybody want to sit there and say, I can't hear you? And why don't you guys all stick around and say, hey, maybe the problem is your computer. Maybe the ideal is you don't have any speakers. Or maybe the ideal is what is going on? Because I'm trying to figure out one thing. If there's something wrong, wouldn't it be great if somebody was sitting and telling me to actually work on it to get it fixed? Because I don't see any reason. There's nothing on this side that's keeping you from actually being heard. So if you want to go check another show, then go check another show, guys. Have a good day. All right. If anybody else could sit here and look at the situation, what is going on? Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, also the idea of looking at people and going, okay, can you hear me at all? And somebody's flagging me in the chat room or something, or calling in, so we can actually figure this problem out. Instead of everybody saying, well, since we can't hear you, screw you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's kind of crazy. People just kind of jump out as before, or people saying, well, I can't hear you. You're kind of jumpy back and forth, that kind of stuff. We have a great connection here, so there has to be some kind of other freaking thing going on. Well, and it'd be nice if we could find some people to work with us so we could actually figure out what the problem is to find the solution. Because once you find the problem, the solution is right behind it. And I'm sitting here looking at, well, especially with the equipment I'm broadcasting from, shouldn't be any problems at all. I mean, if you got some speakers that are not working, check those out. If you have a connection that's not working, check the connection you got going on. But I was checking some stuff out here, and it seemed like everything's working fine. I don't know. Hmm. Maybe we can get someone to call in so we can actually hear and see if it, maybe the problem is. Because I'm sitting here talking, and everything on this side I've checked out a couple of times, and everything's working intensely, I'm telling you. Okay. We got some things going on. But please give us a call here and see what's up. You hear me now? Okay. Well, we're asking people to call in the show. Say hello. Come on in. Call, call, call. Give us a little buzz. Okay? Let's just go over the whole thing. I was talking about the Abundance Book. Okay, the Abundance Book is a great book. You know why it's a great book? But it actually clears out your subconscious mind. You know why it clears out your subconscious mind? Because of the ideal of certain things going on. It's working against you on your manifestation, right? Okay. Great. Somebody call in. Keep me company. I don't hear anything from anybody. Co-hosts, they're all out doing their little thing and they haven't showed up. Driving me at the walls, you know what I'm saying? Okay, let's go with the show here. Okay, Abundance Handbook starts off like this. Got the 40-day prosperity plan. The 40-day prosperity plan. Let's take a deep breath. Okay, we love the situation. It says, okay, as a statement in there. You read the statement. Write it down in your journal. Get a journal. Get a journal, my friend. Sit down and start doing this freaking work, okay? Before I come out there and shoot all you. No. It's like one of those things everybody wants to sit there and talk about why nothing's going good in their life, why nothing's happening. It's the idea. Have you set any goals? Are you really focused on anything at all, or just the idea of winging it? You know, I've heard so many people say, I just want a job, just a job. And then they get this freaking craziness about the jobs. They haven't specified pay. They haven't just specified what kind of job they want. They haven't even specified what kind of people they want to work with. Then they have a tendency to trap these crappy little things that puts them in a situation of slavery, which is called working from week to week. You know what I'm saying? So when that comes along, it's crazy. It doesn't realize if you keep focusing on that one mentality, that's all you're ever going to accomplish. You're going to keep going back and forth, back and forth. Area code 607. Welcome to the room. Welcome to the show. Welcome. How's it? How are you? And how's it feel to be living on this planet of some crazy people?
Good. Feels good.
It feels good to be on a crazy planet?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. So, caller, what's your name?
Sharla.
Sharla. I think we've talked many times before, and it seems like you, wouldn't you agree for one thing about your life right now? Seriously, since you've made certain decisions, your life's gotten better. Even if it's just a small margin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Better than, the idea like this, it's better to have a small margin of good than to have a small margin of bad, because that means you're still going in the same direction. And then in the process of switching and going into a different direction, something positive happened, even on a small scale. Maybe it was just the idea of someone being in a line with you and you're a dollar forty short on something and thinking you're going to put it back. And then someone in the back of the line goes, I got you, and takes care of it. You ever had that happen to you before?
Yes, I have. It's wonderful when that happens.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people after you do those kind of things will sit here and tell you, that's crazy. That stuff just don't happen. And you're like, oh, I got to watch it, man. I get really blown with this dude and say, didn't you just hear my story? It did happen. So therefore, how come that one person still wants to hang on to that perception of lack of limitations and nothing good happening? Makes you want, do you really want to examine that or just leave that person alone?
I think that you should do that when you can, too. I try to repay that favor when I can.
Mm-hmm. But more likely you did something before it even happened anyway. But it's good to keep it going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was sitting there going over this book, and I was like, the Abundance Handbook by John Randolph Price, where it just kind of goes over certain things of changing the subconscious mind. And people go, what's so important about the subconscious mind? Because that's where all the protection comes from. It's like looking at a situation of life and wondering what's creating the life that you've been living so far. It's the idea of your perceptions, which goes and is rooted into your subconscious mind. So therefore, those are working against you if you've been trying to focus on certain things, as in positive. I want something good in my life. And you're like, okay, what's up?
I'm trying to think very positive. And you're right. Lots of positive things have happened in the last 2 weeks.
That's always positive, right?
Exactly.
My
van is licensed for the first time since November, and my parents paid for a new tire today, and good things are happening. You're right.
Exactly. I get a kick out of my today. Look at some guys. I said, you know something? You need to take your van in for a checkup because you got some bald tires, and it's on the inside, which you haven't been noticing. And then the guy goes and he drops something down on the freaking ground, right, as he's getting in his van. And he just happened to look at the tires. On the inside of the tires, they're all worn. You're like, okay. Well, I'm just saying, some people have to learn one thing, the idea of passing it on. Doesn't mean you have to pass on money or something physical. It's the idea of pass it on, you know, help somebody out. Maybe it's just a nice, kind word. Or someone falls down the street, hello, let me help you up. Or we saw this one where it was a story about, you never know when you're entertaining angels. And there was a story about a bus, a Greyhound bus getting ready to leave. And there was this girl was getting on, and she noticed that she had lost her ticket. And the bus driver knew. Okay, and she's trying to get back up. This is one thing I don't like about society right now either. We're so freaking bent and so damn freaking whacked out about money that we have a tendency to put people in positions and hurt them because of our own fears and situations. And particularly like this story here, it's the idea, we never know when we're entertaining angels, the idea of learning a lesson and what we should do and what we shouldn't do as doing the right thing, not what the world says we should do. The world says, well, if you don't have a ticket, you don't get on the bus. But then again, our subconscious mind, okay, we're working against this with some fears that we might get in trouble by our superiors and all this other crap to the point where we're going to put a lady in the street. It's snowing, it's cold, it's all this other stuff. So you're going to let your fear basically put somebody in harm's way, okay? We can look at the situation. Well, the girl should have manifested a different situation. But see, the point is, you're being tested. That's what you're going to do at that moment, okay? Bus driver says, nope, you can't get on the bus. And it's one of those things, it's more like a reboarding, okay? So he knew she had a ticket, and she lost it somewhere. But he knew she already paid for it. That's the point. She paid for a trip on that freaking thing. She paid for a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she doesn't have any kind of paper documentation, he's not going to let her in there later on because he is scared, fear again, that he's going to get in trouble if someone catches him doing what he did. Which in reality, if you look at it, she's not getting away with anything. She already paid for it. Who the heck?
Sometimes you got to do what's right.
Hey, hold on for a minute. Hello? Hi, how are you? No, if you're trying to call into the radio show, yeah, you need to call the 646-721-9031. That's okay. You're fine. You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Did someone call in, Donnie?
Yeah, because I was kind of freaking out because I was like, who's calling in? Because I've been giving out. I put the number in the chat room, which I've never had any problems with. So I gave the number in the chat room, but I also have a little thing here on the side of the computer where I can keep promoting it, like through Twitter and Facebook and Blog Talk Radio, people out there listening, that kind of stuff. And also, if you just start listening in, we're talking about the idea of doing the right thing, not doing what the world says we should do. And this is, I'll just go real quick in case you just Everybody just tuned in real quick. This is Psychic X-Training Man. This is my show. It's Psychic X-Training Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio. This is Block Talk Radio. We're doing a little topic here and stuff. Oh, and you never know when you're entertaining angels. And it's the idea of taking a look at the world right now and how realistically, if you're in a situation of working for somebody and you put yourself in this position, you are a thief. And there's no other way of looking at it, okay? If you sit there and put a person in a situation, and you know for a fact that they had tickets, they had the whole freaking bit, they already paid for a ticket, they already paid for a seat. But you sit there and say, well, since you don't have the ticket right here in your hand, I have to have that documentation. Okay? Now, you see how the world works? Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to feel fuzzy, all fuzzy inside by using materialistic bullshit. I'm sorry. But that's the way it is, okay? But realistically, I'm going to take a look at society and say society is a big ripoff. You know why? Because they're going to make that lady, they're going to make that girl either buy another ticket or someone's going to buy a ticket for her. You know what they're going? They're getting money under false pretenses because they're saying since we don't have a piece of paper, you're going to pay us some more money to make us feel good about ourselves. Not really realize what that point is. If that ticket's $87, that's $87 they just stole. And they're going to pay for it because in the process of their lives of making that decision, it might not affect the company in a big way and very quickly, but it will affect the individual because the individual knows better. We all know good from right.
So do you think we should go back to like a barter system where you do something for me, I do something for you, and get rid of paper money?
Yeah, I do, because it's how it was even back in the day. And there was other things. I mean, sure, back in the Roman people go, well, back in the Roman Empire, they had coins. Yeah, look at that freaking crap. That was chaos, wasn't it? And it collapsed, didn't it? The Roman Empire, like kaboomy. So if you want to go back to that one as a good example, I guess you're setting us up for a failure of falling again. Because let's get it through our heads, guys. The Roman Empire was a democracy when it collapsed. And what are we claiming ourselves to be right now? A democracy. And what are we doing right now? We're stretching ourselves out to this situation. We have a deficit in trillions of dollars. If you take a look at the research of the Roman Empire, they were also the same way, always stretching outside their realm to the point it collapsed. I said, okay, look at the situation in Jesus' time, okay, guys? Take a good look at what you see, okay? Really, take a look at it. What's the difference between now and the Roman Empire? What's the difference between now and Jesus' time?
I think it was more simple back then.
Yeah, but see, what the difference is the slaves get paid and they get insurance now. So when you sit and look at the situation, the way it's unfolding and stuff like that, if you don't understand the idea, it says in the Bible all these things are going to happen. But it's also, if you read it real closely, it also talks about the ideal of man and the direction they're going in. Okay, with direction can change. With each individual, with each situation of changing things, of actually looking at things and loving unconditionally, it changes the world consciousness, but it also changes the world parameters to the point of direction we're going in, which it changes that direction. So the idea of what you're all looking at is complete chaos and the end of the world is what you want. It's almost like you're sitting there saying, since I've been such a bad person, I think the world should end so I can be redeemed from my sins. Not realizing you can actually be redeemed for those things right now. So it's the idea of changing it. There's even been a proven fact that you can actually surmount karma by just realizing what you did. You reap what you sow. You get back what you put out. So if you put out and the idea of correction and apologies and forgiveness, you get that back too as well. So it cancels out the karma. Did you see that, guys? You want to repeat that one more time? It cancels out the karma. Are we all sitting getting angry? Yeah, we're getting angry because we're sick of the society taking us and raking us over the freaking coals for money. Because of what they're saying, money's going to make them feel good. Not realizing if the economy and the computers crash tomorrow, the bartering system will come back big time. You know? You will start trading things for this, that, and the other because there'll be only other one way to go. I mean, we could also trace it back real quickly and erase it all. I mean, you know, you got to look back in the idea of Adam and Eve and that kind of stuff. And like you said, back in the day, it was simple. You know why? No rent. There was no rent. No, there wasn't. People sleeping in the freaking in the prairies, looking at the stars, not worrying about the landlord's going to show up and steal their blanket. Come on. It wasn't happening. People spotted the land. Back then, if you were strong enough in just the ideal direction of grabbing a piece of property and developing and that kind of stuff, it was yours. We had that for a short period of time here too in the Midwest. That's how they developed the Midwest, going out west, California, past in the prairies and all that kind of stuff. Because it wasn't really, at that time, it wasn't really idyllic, you know, but there were some people who challenged the whole thing, went out there, you know, got some land, developed it. It was theirs. Now we got people who don't even do that. They just sit there and buy some property up. If it falls down on the freaking ears, it doesn't matter if there's people in it or not. They just don't care about people. And I think the reason is, if we really trace it back to some of these situations, it's because people have lost touch with themselves and the idea of realizing things. So much technology does one thing and works against you, because it doesn't enable you to sit there and think. It's amazing how people keep popping in and popping out. And it's like, if you're out there right now, guys, and you're thinking about getting a question, and then you have this parameter of time and that kind of stuff, take it off. Take your expectations off everything and say, I need some answers. So give us a call in here at 646-721-9031 and get some answers. But if you're not willing to listen, I guarantee you're going to hear something. You know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear your answer. And you might even hear it before you even ask the question. Because you can sit and ask thousands and thousands of people who've actually listened to this show who never actually came on the show because they got their answer questioned. Because they questioned it in their own minds. And then they left. Or they sit and said, hey, you know something? I'm not going to wait another 40 minutes to get on the show. Well, take your egotistic ass out of here then. Because that's going to keep you from getting the answers you've been looking for in your whole life. That's what we always call standing in your own way. You put these false boundaries on everything. You say, okay, if something doesn't happen in this time, then it must not be good. Instead of following through, because every situation is a transition. Okay, in the process of you getting an answer, your life goes through a transition of using that information to make better choices from that time on. Okay, and if people keep going back and forth. Continue to go back and forth because they're not allowing themselves enough time to find the answers and to actually utilize it. It's crazy. It's one of the situations. Right now out there, I was sitting there talking. The story goes like this. The bus driver refused to let the lady could drive. And then somebody came in and bought her a ticket. Okay? But, I mean, you sit and look at the situation, how many times that story has happened. And you don't want to sit there and go, oh, you know, if you don't want to hear it, we'll take it down to a simpler form, okay? And the idea of not listening to oneself and what you should really do, you miss out on a lot of things. See, the bus driver missed out on one thing. It was the idea of the experience of helping another person and how he would have felt and how it would have changed his life. But see, he was too busy thinking about what he was going to lose instead of opening his heart up to see what could have happened to the experience. The experiences are the most important things in the freaking world because the experiences actually open us up to even more. So I was sitting looking. Right. So I was sitting looking at the situation going, you know, there's so many people who won't give away nothing. And there's other, you know, it depends on the situation, too. I mean, shoot, there's a lot of people, you do have a tendency to go, nope, I'm not giving nothing out. Because that's what they want you to do. They want something for free. And we know, I said and told a friend of mine like this one time, I said, I charged a lady $180, $185 for a cleansing. And the reason I did is because, realistically, if I wouldn't have, she wouldn't have had any faith in it. So it would have been, either way you look at it, it would have been a waste of energy. You know, there are certain situations I learned from the situation to realize exactly how I had to perceive. Do I sit there and look at the situation and what she learned? Do I really have to? That's her business. Did she learn anything? I could go into it psychically and say, somewhere along the line, but maybe not enough to go through a really full realization. But at the same time, when you start putting yourself in those kind of situations of wondering about other people's lives, you're taking away from your own destiny and your own directions and the own things that you got to do too. My business was to go in that situation of helping her out and hope that she would have seen it for what it was. And mine was also to realize in the process of charging somebody for it, because if I wouldn't have, she wouldn't have had any kind of faith in what was going on, because she was just that kind of person. Hopefully she wakes up to the point of seeing a situation for what it was, that was, you know, it was just paying for someone's time. The rest of the work was up to her to release all that negativity too.
Yeah.
Because I read the story, and I was just like, you know, something's kind of crazy how many times that happens, that the bus, you know, it makes perfect sense when you look at the imbalance, because all these companies out here and the economy and the whole situation, the whole, the whole system, why is it having so much problems? I mean, if you sort of calculate the money they're making, there shouldn't be any problems. I mean, right now in Colorado Springs, we got a freaking bus problem. Where it used to be, the bus used to run till 10 o'clock at night. Then they cut the freaking bus budget, they supposedly. They still have a tough time with that one because they raised all the prices on everything, too. At the same time, they cut the budget, they cut back the time. Now the buses don't even run to 7 anymore. That's all the buses. And there's even buses that don't run on Saturdays anymore. When I was here the first time, we used to have buses run till 10, and they started having a Sunday route, and then the ones on Saturday started running later too. So therefore, the Saturday schedule they used to have fell back on Sunday. So the Saturday schedule was on Sunday schedule, so they only went to about 5 or 6, and then Saturday became part of the week, you know, Monday through Saturday. Runs through the thing. Well, see, the one thing I had a problem with, and I was telling everybody, I said, it's not the ideal bitching about it. It's the ideal of looking at it and saying something doesn't set right. People get tired of being lied to. And then you trace it down to the common denominator. People are saying they want to save money. I'm going to sit here and tell you something, guys. This is the way it works. You can't save something you don't have. You can keep yourself from being put in a position to spend it, but you can't save something you don't have. And when you start cutting people's jobs, you start cutting service, and you start going that way, then you're nothing but a thief. We're trying to keep money in your pockets. Okay? You can sit there and look at it the way you want to. That's just the way it is. They can get mad, they get angry, they can do all they want about the whole thing. And usually when people get angry, bingo, hit the truth, don't we? So, when you have a system or any kind of, but when you look across, when you look across at all these services, they're all having financial problems. And when you look at people who have certain situations of, we'll put it down to a simple form and say, okay, all the people who have problems like that, even on the smallest scale, are feeding into fear. Anytime you make a decision because of the fear of not having something or the fear of whatever it is, you're still feeding into a negative energy. So you usually don't get a positive outcome. You might think you will because you think you saved something here and there and there. But like I said before, they're just illusions. I mean, I got an argument with a math teacher. He said, okay, you got a dress. That's $45, but then it gets marked down to $25. You just saved yourself about, you know what, is that, about 20-some dollars? And I said, how do you save any money? I don't see the point of saving money. Because 9 out of 10 times, people will wait until the dress drops from 45 to 25 because all they have is 25. So where'd you save the money? It's an illusion. You didn't save anything. You saved up enough to get the dress. Okay? So sometimes people's thinking is in the same way. They think in the process of the situation that they're actually something's happening when actually all they're doing is accumulating things to actually take care of the first part, which is the 25 instead of the 45. But the people who actually start changing their minds and expanding their minds don't care. They'll buy the dress at 45 because they're not looking at saving money. What do you have to save money for? There has to be a goal somewhere along the line. The idea of saving money for money's sake becomes a difficult task because there's no goal behind it. It seems like everything has a goal behind it. Always has a tendency to be accomplished. But things that don't, there's always this battle. What are you trying to do? It hasn't been really formulated. So they have no idea. That's the point. There's no energy around it to actually determine what it's all about. So how can you, it's like if you focus your energy on manifesting a Volkswagen, at the same time you keep writing in your journal, you want a station wagon. Okay? People would sit there and say, I saved myself from buying a bad Volkswagen, when actually what they were focusing on is a station wagon. So realistically, what the truth is, they manifested a station wagon because that's what they really wanted. And that's what they were, that's what it was, I guess you would sit there and say the word destined. That's what they were destined to have in the first place. Why would they focus on it in the first place? So it's the same thing. What are you going to focus on? It's been actually said that the ideal, if you, I would put this, the ideal of putting your thing on, what's the one that keeps you from making your money? The one that keeps you from making your money is you haven't determined exactly what you want to do. A person who says, I want a job, has a tendency to get something, but shoot, just the ideal of getting out of bed could be a job in the morning. So see, it works against them. But if you start working and start saying, okay, I'd like to have a job making $1,000 a week, and I would like to do something in, like, bookkeeping or something, now you put some substance to it, which is more likely it'll materialize quicker and actually be something more favorable that you like to do, that you could actually put more of yourself into it because you feel comfortable with it. If that doesn't make any sense, I'm sorry.
No, it does.
I'm just saying, you know, there has to be, to get to the other side of the rainbow, there has to be an objective, why you want to go there. Pot of gold, get to the other side. That's why a chicken never gets anywhere. A chicken crossing the road. Why did the chicken cross the road? You know, sometimes with a situation, it's not the idea of asking yourself why. It's the idea of asking yourself, why do we care? The chicken's got it under control, I guarantee you, okay? But it's amazing how, it's like take a deep breath and take a step back and look at the situation like this. We're doing readings, guys, 646-721-9031. We are definitely doing free readings tonight, okay? Free readings. Give us a call. We got an hour and 17 minutes left, so give us a shot here. We're just kind of going over some things here of some things that, in the process of observation and noticing things, of how maybe why the world is in such chaos right now is because they want to be. They want to focus. They want to feed into the fearful part of things. And anytime you feed into a fearful of anything, it just has a tendency to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And Charlotte, where'd you go? Let's see, we got guest 7781 in the room. Hello. We got Trish Stevens. Trish Stevens. Huh. I thought, I was sitting there thinking about that for a minute. So how are you, Trish Stevens? Give us a call in here, huh? So give us a little jingle in here and just talk about it. Let's get back to the subject. I was just understanding the things that it's like all of us take a sit back and look at things that are going on around us. And ask yourself in some sense of the way, is there some way of correcting injustice, correcting certain things that are going on? Or is everybody going to keep feeding into this crap saying, okay, there's nothing we do about it? Maybe not in the physical sense, but I guarantee divine intervention will always reap positive outcomes, no matter what it is. But you have to understand sometimes the situations of people who say they don't want something, sometimes they do want it more than they're letting the lit on. So that's one of those things, too. That's one of the things about John Randolph Rice says in his book, is the ideal, the first thing about manifesting is the ideal of keeping it to yourself. And the reason you keep it to yourself is because you want to keep your focus, your perceptions, on your manifestations, not somebody else's. And you don't want them to interfere with what you're focusing on to give you any doubt in what you're trying to do. Now, for example, this one on the book itself, it starts off with the idea of the 40-day prosperity plan. It goes like this. There's a statement that you read when you're basically coming to the conclusion of denouncing things and understanding how things really work. Like this one here, I would have started like this. And this is the statement that he wrote in the book. And it says, this day, April 13th, 2012, Friday, I cease believing invisible money as my supply and my support, and I view the world of effect as it truly is, simply an outpicturing of my former beliefs. I believed in the power of money. Therefore, I surrendered my God-given power and authority to an objectified belief. I believe that the possibility of lack thus causing a separation in consciousness from the source of my supply. I believed in mortal man and carnal conditions, and through this faith gave man and conditions power over me. I believed in mortal illusion created by the collective consciousness of error thoughts, and in doing so, I limited the unlimited. No more. This day, I renounce my so-called humanhood and claim my divine inheritance as a being of God. This day, I acknowledge God and only God as my substance, my supply, and my support. Okay? And then there's these 10 statements that you actually do one each day. The first one goes like this. It says, God is lavish, unfailing abundance, the rich, omnipresent substance of the universe. This all-providing source of infinite prosperity is individualized as me, the reality of me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just with that one statement, what you're doing is you're focusing on the ideal of who is your substance, your supply, and your support. God is lavish, unfailing abundance. So you're acknowledging it right there. The rich, omnipresent substance of the universe. This all-providing source of infinite prosperity is individualized as me, the reality of me. And then I always say with everything, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just for the ideal, the realization within that one statement. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging it and saying thank you. Then I go on with the ideal of the statement that he has in the book as well. It's called a focus. It's like an affirmation statement. And it goes like this. I am the spirit of infinite plenty individualized. I am boundless abundance and radiant expression. What is expressed in love must be returned in full measure. Therefore, wave after wave of visible money supply flows to me now. I am a mighty money magnet, and oceans of money engulf me. I am wonderfully rich in consciousness. I am bountifully supplied with money. I now realize my plan for abundant living. I see my bank account continually filled in all sufficiency to meet every need with a divine surplus. I lovingly see myself sharing this bounty for the good of all, according to the Father's guidance. I happily see every bill paid now. I joyfully see every obligation met now. With great delight, I see the continuing flow of this money used with love and wisdom as I create the perfect scenes according to my highest vision. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now you see that's what I call it, and it's called an affirmation statement on abundance. So we're focusing on abundance. Then we continue with these little statements that we say every day. And the second one was, I lift up my mind and heart to be aware, to understand, and to know that the divine presence I am is the source and substance of all my good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I always have a tendency to go a little further than that and thank all the sources by saying thank you, God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, guardian angels, guides, higher self, Holy Spirit, and Jesus for all that I have and for all that I am. Thank you for the miracles and blessings in my life, and thank you for the ones coming and for the ones that are happening right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for helping me to see all the signs and guidance clearly and to follow it with faith every time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And there's so many more, too. Let's see, I also have trying to find my remote. There it is. It's not a remote, it's actually my mouse. All right. So, April, have you joined us tonight?
Yeah, I'm just leaving Church of the Earth.
The Church of the Earth. Why don't you just sit there and share with the audience here of your experience with the Church of the Earth and who they are and what they're all about and what they represent.
Church of the Earth is in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's located on Gaia's Gardens off of Hillsborough Street. It's the website is cote-nc.org if you want to learn more about it. And today was Pagan Night Out, which is the second Friday of every month. And we had a bonfire and a potluck, so everyone was just sitting around the fire and talking and eating. Everyone has pretty much their own belief system, and we just share our experiences with open-minded people who aren't going to try to shove each other's beliefs down their throat. It's a lot of fun just to meet friends there.
Uh-huh.
And it was outside, and it's a really nice, beautiful environment to go hang out in.
That's good. You know, sometimes with the situations, I mean, it's great that you can have such things that actually promote the idea of individuality. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, everyone there is pretty, has their own beliefs. We have Druids there, Wiccans. I call my religion Aprilism.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Oh, God, it's kind of eclectic and scientific, and it's, like, evolving every time I learn something new.
Uh-huh.
You're putting me on the spot. You want me to talk about, like, my belief system? Like, right now,
yeah.
I've been studying a lot of Zachariah Sitchin.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of like the idea that humanity was created from the mixture of DNA with aliens and monkeys. But I'm pretty sure mm-hmm. that belief's going to change whenever I learn something new.
Well, that's why it's supposed to work. That's why I don't try to put it under a certain title, because people sit there going, I saw this today. It was kind of funny in some way, but kind of true. I was sitting there, it's a statement that, Mark Twain said. He said the cure for Christianity is to read the Bible. I was like, okay, makes sense. Because so many people, they claim the word or claim the title Christian. When you sit and watch their actions and what they do and that kind of stuff, really goes against the whole freaking thing where the ideal. My thing is, I came up with the ideal, I don't want to belong to any group or anything like that. It's just the ideal of realizing that from all the things I've read, especially when it comes to supposedly the judgment day and that kind of stuff, even those things are individual. You're not going to stand up. You're not going to have a lawyer with you when you go and stand up for judgment day.
Well, Sylvia Brown talks about judgment day in her book. She said that the person judges themselves. They watch like an holographic four-dimensional view of their life. Their life flashes before their eyes, and they look at all the decisions they made and what they could have had and how they affected other people. And then they know, like, everything. Like, all of a sudden, everything becomes clear to them. And then
mm-hmm.
they usually feel pain because of the mistakes they made and what they didn't do, but it's not like an outside source punishing them for what they did. They're punishing themselves.
Well,
and
like
I don't remember which
that,
book
right?
this was in. I don't remember which book. I think it was The Nature of Good and Evil by Sylvia Brown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you said a look at the situation, what it says in the Bible, that good and evil really didn't exist until man made a mistake and partake of a fruit. So therefore, we actually saw duality in the situation of seeing, you know, good and evil. When at that time, everything was great. So it makes
in
you
my
about the
opinion,
situation.
There
yeah.
is no good and evil. Everything just is what it is. And because
mm-hmm.
the law keeps changing over time. Stuff that was a sin like 100 years ago isn't a sin anymore. And like even in the Old Testament and from the Old Testament and the New Testament, the law and the sins are different. So if you read
mm-hmm.
Conversations with God by Neil Walsh, he talks about that a lot, that there's no good or evil. And it's like a 3-book series, and I really enjoyed that
mm-hmm.
too. Yeah, well, Conversations with God.
I understand the same thing too, because I was also reading John Randolph Price's book, which I think it was in the Jesus Code book, where he talks about the ideal that evil is in your it's like it's imagination or I had it right there too. It was like the idea of evil is when you start focusing on nothing but positive stuff in your life and you start changing your thinking, that kind of stuff, evil disappears. So it's the illusion. And what about you talking about look to the illusion to see the truth and to realize the truth is being basically masked or veiled by fear, which people call evil. because it's keeping from really what you want to be in it. So that was kind of crazy. Anyway, no, I was just saying, going over the thing, I was reading this stuff in this book is because it was talking about the idea of changing your subconscious mind, which is where everything starts in the first place, where you start having fear or doubt within yourself. And actually, we got some callers in the queue, too, so I want to get to them, too, as well. So, April?
What?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
We don't want to be. You say you're driving. We don't want to. We don't want to be too distracting. Okay.
I can drive. I don't know if I can't give a clairvoyant reading while I'm driving because I'll see. I don't know, people's spirit guides like in the road, and I might like swerve or something.
Okay. Then try this. Try practicing and see if you can actually see if you have clairaudient abilities and try to use those. So therefore, you can hear him talking to you. But I don't think you'll actually hear any horns or anything. I'm just saying,
okay.
I've done this before too. I was sitting there going, okay, I can't do the clairvoyant thing, but you know, there's other, and I wonder if I have those. So I'll start working on them and realize that sometimes just by working with them, they were there the whole time. So this is the turn to take the first caller. Area code 720. Welcome to the show, and how are you? Say hello to everybody.
Hi, Donnie. Hi, everybody. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Who are you? Your voice sounds familiar.
Yeah, this is Ibitar.
This is who?
Ibitar.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I just have a question I wanted to ask you about my finances because I was thinking about applying for this job, but I really wasn't feeling it. So I was just wondering if you can kind of tell me about my finances within the next few months, what may be coming along.
I get the impression that things are changing and stuff. You said that there's a job that you don't feel good about?
Well, it's something that I'm very passionate about. It was teaching, you know, a teaching job where I was going to be teaching cooking, but I don't know, it's just, I don't think it's the job itself. I really can't tell you what it is. It's really not making me really pursue it. I mean, I've submitted the information she requested of me, and then she wrote back and wanted some additional information. And it's just something, you know how you get those feelings, you're just not all there? You're just not really feeling it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should pay attention to that too, okay? So really just pay attention to the whole thing and don't sort of try to question it. It's just the idea if you feel like you really can't put yourself into something, then don't.
Right.
So
that's where I'm at right now. So that's why I said it. You know, I'm asking the question. Yeah, asking a question about my finances within the next few months or so.
Well, in the next few months or so, you see things getting better. But I also feel like, let's see here. Shoot, I don't feel like the job that you were looking at in the first place is good because I'm getting irritated with some of the people who have a tendency to do certain things where it's like you give them all the information they want and they're feeling insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And they want more information from you when they should deal with that insecurity, okay, on another level and leave us out of it. Because I'm sitting in the situation, I was doing the same thing with an apartment up here I wanted to get, and you know, and I had the money and stuff, and the lady called me back and she's like, well, the guy who actually has the property wants to know if you have any more rental references. And I actually gave him one where I actually was at a person's house for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, most people don't ask for more than two. I said, what's the problem? And then it was like, you know, he feels insecure. Yeah, he does. And his insecurities, you know what his insecurities doing? His insecurities are actually attracting more insecurities in situations. I walked through his apartment building. I'm like, you could just see some of the people that he had rented to, where he's already rented to them, and now he's trying to correct the situation by asking for more rental references. And I was just like, but see, you can't correct a mistake that you already made by being harder on somebody else. It's the ideal that when you first go into it, you know, trust what you're doing with what's going on, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there going, that's crazy, because I was sitting there, I was ready for it, and open for it, it was a good thing, and all of a sudden she said, well, I want some more, you know, you have anybody else that you read it off of, because he doesn't feel secure with this one. And I was like, okay, but, you know, it's like I gave him all the information I could. So, therefore, you just got to let it go and say, if something else is going to come forward, that's probably a whole lot better than that would ever be. So, therefore, when I look at the situation, you're looking at something I feel like is going to come in very quickly, very soon. Very quickly, almost like in the week. But it's one of those things they talk about. They also talk about clarifying and defining exactly what that is for you, too, and what you want. And it's almost like once you do that, and everything else seems to fall into place very quickly. Mm-hmm. In the next couple of months, it's like it's gonna be like one of those things of looking back on you and say, okay, it's okay. And then I've done this before myself. I look back and I'm like, you know, one thing I've noticed the common denominator was not to worry.
Oh, I'm definitely not worried. I'm not worried. I'm just curious. Because, mm-hmm. you know, basically where I'm at, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I've decided to, you know, do my own thing and not really, you know, look for, well, I shouldn't say not look for a job, but my mm-hmm. my ideal right now is to become self-employed, to be able to create, use my own creativity to manifest what I need to manifest. So mm-hmm. that's why I said my finances versus saying a job, you know, because I know finances can come in other ways besides a job. That's why I phrased the question. What do you see in that arena in terms of my finances?
When I look at the situation, I keep saying you're going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So don't doubt that you're not. The idea of self-employment is definitely one of those things that contributes to the whole as something that's going to be, how would you put that? I said before, the one thing I got was you're going in the right direction. It's just the idea of having faith. And,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find something here. I need some freaking movie. I was going to look at your, I don't know if I've done this before, I probably have, but I feel like it was very important. The message
you sound muffled, Donnie, you sound muffled. Are you talking into the phone?
No, I'm not. I'm actually looking through a book trying to find something real quick. Sorry.
Let's
see. That's crazy, too, because there's nothing over the mic. The world and the freaking communication switches. All right, here it says here. I was looking at your area code, 720. It says, have faith in God and yourself, and know that you are doing the right thing. Your faith and positive thinking have attracted wonderful and trustworthy new opportunities and relationships. Your pure faith and optimism have created and attracted miracles. So you can't get any more straight to the point of even answering your question. And that's what I was trying to do. I was like, for some reason, I just can't be very quickly to go look this up. So I was going to come across the thing. And the idea of the things that you keep seeing happening this month and next month, of all these things are contributing to the whole. So everything's getting better and better and better. And it's great you're not worrying. And when you do worry, I'm just saying in the process of worrying sometimes, or even having the thought, just a second, of having a thought, you need to counteract that. So it's like one of those things to realize.
I don't even go there because it's a waste. That's a waste of time. I don't even entertain those kind mm-hmm. of thoughts. I'm just not there, and I haven't been there in a while. It doesn't make sense because it doesn't change anything and it blocks up all your channels and stuff like that. So I don't worry about anything.
I know. But some people, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm just saying there's some days when you're sitting there and something hasn't happened as quick as you'd like it to. Sometimes you got to take your expectations off, relax, shake it loose and say, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, definitely I've done that.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that because I realize that everything has its own time and there's a flow, you know. And mm-hmm. you know, sometime when you're anxious, you take yourself out of the flow. So
yeah.
I'm definitely in the flow. But you know, a lot of people are not on the page where they believe that they can manifest things without having a job, you know, And that's why, you know, I said what I said in terms of my finances, because I know, I believe in miracles, and I believe in the Creator, and I believe in divine guidance, and I know that things can happen and, you know, and manifest where it seems like there was nothing. Then there was nothing. I was nothing.
I was just thinking about job, G-O-B. You know what that stands for?
Justifying
of debt.
Yeah, and just over broke.
Justifying of debt. You're justifying your debt by needing to go to work. Not realizing the idea of the word need really puts you in a situation of slavery because you're going to keep telling yourself, I got to keep doing this. If I don't do this, then I'm not going to have this. And if I don't do this, I mean, all of a sudden you start a chain reaction.
Right, and I am definitely not there. I am not there at all. And I know, like I said, I know that that's hard for some people to realize, you know, and be really on that page. But it's all about manifesting your heart's desires and being in that space to manifest what it is that you need. And a lot of times, you know, I don't even, you know, I'll make intentions to do something, and, you know, certain people say, well, where's the money going to come from? How are you going to do that? How are you going to do this without that? And, you know, where's the money going to come from? And it doesn't stop me from planning. It doesn't stop me from anticipating. It doesn't stop me from having the sense, okay, this is what I need. This is what I want. And some people just not there. They're just not there. So I don't even talk about my plans to people because they are not on that same page in terms of being able to manifest what you need when you need it.
That's right. So what you got to do is you got to tell everybody life purpose. What does life purpose mean? Life purpose is a direction to life prosperity. Success. It's the idea of determining what success means to you and not what the world says it is. Because it's amazing how much definitions we have for that one word. And I was talking the other night about situations of words changing when you start focusing more on the spiritual sense of things, where wealth becomes the wealth of knowledge instead of money. You know, abundance. You start realizing abundance is accumulation of leaves in a bucket. It's not money. And then when you start looking at the situation of abundance and wealth, then you start realizing just how talented you are and the wealth of talent and the abundance of love that you have with the idea of what you're going to accomplish with your life. You start looking at things totally different. And people are like, you know, it's amazing. I had that one lady on the show where she was so freaking determined that she could not be abundant or prosperous unless she had a job, not realizing she was knocking herself out of the whole thing right there. Because what she was really saying was, it wasn't the idea, I don't have a job. It's the idea, I have no faith in myself.
Exactly.
So I'm putting my faith. And I guess it's one of the things to clarify for people, too, when it says take back your power. That's what it means. You are given your power. Because I was sitting there, the reason I started reading this out of my journal, on the first part of this, it says, I cease believing invisible money as my supply and my support, and I view the world of effect as it truly is. Simply an outpicturing of my former beliefs means what you were thinking yesterday created today. And they're trying to help you to let go of that. But it's also showing here, I believe in the power of money, therefore I surrendered my God-given power and authority to an objectified belief, which means I gave my power to the world. And instead of realizing how powerful I was. And it's amazing, you know, when we sit there and talk to people, how scared they are of it. That's why they give it away. They want to sit there and go, well, my problems, my issues are more powerful than God. So therefore, to make God powerful, they think they have to make themselves small, not realizing in the process of being co-creators, we work together.
Right.
So it's okay to focus on your wants, needs, and desires in the process. In the Bible, it says you have not because you ask not. So therefore, it's like ask and receive, and we will work together, and we will create. You know, the situation, but he's also saying to you, that you were made in God's image. So there you have to have faith in yourself in order before you can create these things. When you pray for something, you have to have faith in what you're praying for and actually believe that you can actually have it before you can actually have it. And then God sits there and says, okay, that's how I did it. When I sit there and created the universe and the earth and all those things, I didn't think about it. I just did it. Mm-hmm. Okay, the power of the words, power of speech. You know, most people jump on the bandwagon and they're like, okay, so the Bible that, you know, good and evil is in the power of the tongue. What that means is somebody's, I think it's interpretation too, because I think in the Greek version it basically talks about power is in the tongue, which means what you speak, you create, no matter if it's good or bad or whatever it is. It's whatever you, it's more like a simplifying the whole thing. It's say whatever you speak, you will create.
So, Johnny, I want to ask you this question because there are some things that I know that I'm supposed to do, you know, as far as my life purpose is concerned. But recently I was told that I was, you know, would have these two opportunities that would come along. One is like an office job, and then the other one is like has something to do with traveling. Are you picking mm-hmm. up on anything with that? Traveling.
Yes.
Give us more insight, okay. April.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the car right now, but I was like, I'm parked, so I was seeing what images were coming through, and I saw like transportation, so that matches more with traveling than an office job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So like the idea. It's like putting yourself in the position, like you said before. I don't know, you know, self-employment, that kind of stuff. You see a lot of travel with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it just seems like, you know, the whole thing about traveling itself and not really. I almost like you want to look at the idea of astrology, get a look at someone's chart and say, okay. It's almost like you want to sit there and look because you have a funny feeling in that chart. It's the ideal that. Right now, the point of actually having a point of operation, of having a home, that might happen. But at the same time, not really being in that home or in that area much because of things just kicking the gear by making a decision to actually focus on what you really want to do as being a self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
You've opened the door to other opportunities for you. I mean, I could almost pick up this year, maybe actually four situations of traveling.
Mm. Wow.
What was the other one? You said there was another one too. It was traveling and.
It was an office job. She said, you know, you'd have to choose between, you know, what feels right for me. And she said something about, you know, an office job. And because I've had those opportunities that I haven't even pursued in terms of, you know, office. Job. I'm just not in the job. I'm just not in the groove of a job. I'm just so done with that. I'm just mm-hmm. so done with that. You know, because I know what I have to offer. You know, any job, they're not going to pay me what I'm worth. Number one, and then you know I have to. Not that I can't be a team player because I can be, but I you know, jobs are just stifling. You know, in terms of your creativity, your life purpose, and they're just stifling, mm-hmm. you know. They can be so stifling, and I just don't see it. I just don't see, you know. I probably wouldn't have said this a year ago, but or a year and a half ago, but I just don't see myself, you know, with a job. I just don't, you know. I just don't. It's not a part of what I'm trying to create right now.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see, in the traveling, do you see anything in terms of healing or just, or is it just me just putting all these things together in terms of what my purpose is?
It's a combination of you putting all these things together.
Okay.
Because, my thing is, when I said I work with people, is the idea of helping everybody understand one thing. If you have all these gifts, you don't choose one or the other. They're all for your
right
purpose. Utilizing
right.
them all.
Exactly. And I have multiple gifts.
Exactly. So when you say look at the situation, it's like the idea of being clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. It's just the idea of getting more clear about the messages that are coming through where you can not just see them, you can hear it, and there's just all kind of things.
Yeah.
It's like watching a silent movie. And mm-hmm. for so long, and then someone introduces you to movies we watch today, and how much it would just open up. But you, at first, you're just using your eyes. You're using, you know, But now all of a sudden someone gives you a different environment with the situation. Now you can actually use your ears, your eyes. And even in some instances, when we watch movies and stuff, because of color and that kind of stuff, they have a tendency to hit us in all kinds of ways. And I think the more you're in tune to those things, the more you can interpret that thing very quickly and actually convey it to somebody else. And that's the way I've always seen it, this kind of work. It's the ideal of describing people and say, okay, give you an ideal of what we do. It's the ideal of seeing the past, the future, and the present all at the same time, but being able to interpret it. Because of the gifts that we have, the idea of helping you understand things, because we're actually standing on the outside of your life instead of you being a part of it, which gives us a more objective way of looking at things, too. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we can also help people also develop those gifts, too, to be objective within, too, as well.
Right, right. So were you going to pull a card, or do you need to pull any cards, Donnie?
Do you want me to pull a card for you?
Yes,
it's an intuitional thing, too. I mean, I feel like, yes, I should pull a card for you. Okay? And the card is practice. I feel like I'm playing password here. The word is practice. Okay. Anybody else password? Come on. I can't. No one left. Come on, guys. Say, someone say something. I mean, I could have swore password was still on in the 90s, too. It wasn't
practice
in the 70s.
Practice or password? Practice or password?
No, no, I'm just saying, anybody watch that show called Password? They used to have a little guy come on and go, the password is. Like, everybody can hear it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
no, that's practice. Basically, the card I pulled for you was the idea. See, why look at the cards? We got to look at the cards like this, okay, guys? These cards represent angels. They show people with wings. But see, these cards also represent you as an earth angel, and the idea of how you affect the world, how you're going to help the world, and how much you're here to help just do those things. So it says polish your skills by practicing regularly. It's the ideal, the work and the things you're going to do. And then, April, if you're actually listening to me right now, this card's for you too as well. It's for everybody who's listening to the show right this moment to practice what you do and practice it with not just the ideal. Don't get diligent with the whole thing. Have fun. The more fun you have with it, the more when you're working with clients and stuff like that, the more fun you have. But everybody else enjoys this experience, too, because you're bringing personality to the situation, and they know it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, the word medium means the person, the go-between.
Okay.
So you're passing on what you're being told to do, but not really to the point where being told what to do, as in you have no control over it, because the idea was, we just had this not too long ago. April can sit here and say this too. The one thing I had problems with a couple of these groups out here who talk about spirit speaks to them, and I have to tell you these things, is one thing spirit will not do is God will not interfere with your free will. These are all learning experiences. So if you refuse to pass on a message to somebody, there's still something to be learned from everything, and everything that happens. Everything happens for a reason. So when I have people who come to me and say, well, spirit spoke to me, and I have to tell you this, because if I don't, oh, he's twisted my arm. No, it doesn't work that way. And I hate to be so dramatic, but they're so dramatic, I got to overrule that, you know? But it's the truth. When you look at these situations, it's the truth. You do not have to do anything you don't want to do. But I guarantee you, when you put yourself in a situation, a position of your life purpose, you'll want to do it every day because you love what you do. And you love yourself, too, as well. So you're able to pass that on. That's the key.
Right.
If you're a miserable ass, okay, and you're working in customer service, you're making everybody else miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing to do is, instead of bitching about it, sit and realize that you're not destined to work there. And go do what you're destined to do. Go what you, you know, there's no... It's amazing how people are getting to that point, but still allowing the world to stand in the way of what they should be doing with their lives and say, well, you know, what happens if I get kicked out? Well, maybe it's one of those cleansing days that is telling you that you're still hanging on to the materialistic and you lost everything. But did you lose everything, or was it the ideal, something you needed to let go of anyway, to realize who was the one that accomplished and created all those things? You know, next time someone asks you, where's the money going to come from? Oh, it's going to go from the invisible to the visible because I'm focusing on it right now. Thank you. You know, it's the idea of looking for a positive answer for everything people say. Because every time you say something in the process of what you do with your life reflects who you are and what you do anyway. I mean, I've had people, I do palm readings for people. I don't sit there and just give them a demonstration. If a person pulls their hand out, I don't sit there and go, well, you don't have $30. No, I just sit there and go, you know, it's like one of those things, having fun, man. I have an area where I do business and I work and I make money. But there's other times when I'm just having a good old time out there, and there's so many people who are scared to death to do their job because they feel like they're losing something. Oh, if I give you a dollar, if I give you a palm reading, those things are $30. That means I'm not making $30. When they could look at the situation, the word we just said, practice. I swear to you, I did this one time. I did this on my show. And the show for me, I love doing this kind of format because I don't have to do anything. You know, I'm just going to go, $30. I do advertise myself constantly, yes, for private readings. And then when I'm in those situations, are they really any different? No, not really. They're actually the private readings, I would say, are really intense. You know, you really get down to the nitty-gritty in the work and work and work. But it's because you can actually focus on it's a one-on-one thing, you know. When you do the show, I'm trying to actually hit everybody, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm taking consideration of everybody who's listening, everybody who's called in, and all the things that are going on, the guests on the show, all this other stuff. So my focus is not entirely on everything, but everything, okay? Mm-hmm. But when I'm in the one-on-one, And you actually come to me and say, okay, I'm going to pay you the full price for this whole thing. You got my full attention, and everything works really good in those situations too. And I'm able to focus on just one person. That's the reason I like doing private readings, because there's nothing else to focus on but you. And using private settings, not just you will hear the messages and learn and have an awakening or realization yourself, but more than likely I will too. And that's why it's so important to have those private sessions. But this session, this here is the ideal. We had so many people come on the show, and you've done this before. You've heard them probably. When they come on the show, they'll say, I just wanted to come on and say thank you because you answered my question like a half hour ago. But it was one of those things, if I wouldn't have been listening, I would have missed it. And that's what the practice thing, too, really fits all those details of learning to listen. Because, you know, people sit there and this is how it works in the real world, is the way it works in this radio show. I guarantee you, you hear information all the time, but the realizations don't happen usually right then and there. It's usually when you're walking down the street or you walk into a place and you smell apples or something hits you a certain way and it wakens you up right then and there. And you're like, okay, I got it. I know what I'm going to do. But see, more likely before you got there, you started changing things in your life and you started practicing those techniques and stuff that you knew you needed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, the card practice is so important because, for example, in my shop, I used to have a shop here back in 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, where there would be days like that. Something would just come over to me and say, you know, girl walk up and she's like, I have no money, but I'd like to get a palm reading. And she was really nice about it. You know, she's like, I'd love to have one. I don't have any money, but I'd love to sit there and see what it's all about. And that kind of stuff. I said, well, hey, you know something? You can help me out. And the girl looked at me and she goes, how can I help you out? I said, I get to practice what I love to do. And you get the answers you're looking for and some insights to yourself. See, when you put yourself in those situations, you know what's going to happen? There's prosperity behind that. And how do I know that? Because that same particular lady that I did the palm reading for, who just came up to the shop and said she wanted to get a free palm reading, and I said, what the heck, you know? When you're in business for yourself, you can do what you want to, and you better keep yourself in that frame of mind, or that business the whole thing will just take you over. And that's not what it's all about. What happened with that situation was her parents, well, her mother walked in with her uncle, and see, from what he saw, he was so taken back by it, he just kind of like, he was so impressed. He actually paid for hers, he got one, and his sister got one. So you see the idea of what happened. I never asked for anything, but was still well compensated because of just doing what I love to do. Love will attract everything to you. So you see, love it, own it, and you will.
Yep. Okay, thanks a lot.
Did I answer your questions?
Yeah, you sure did. Thanks so much.
Yes, you are so welcome, and thank you for calling. It's one of the situations, I love hearing from other people who call on the show, have called before, and just get some more insights to the whole thing, and just sit down and talk and have a good time. So don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay.
Do you have a fantastic... Well, that's Friday, isn't it? You have a fantastic weekend, okay?
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Sorry, April.
Is V not here today?
No, Dee is not here today, and I don't know what happened, and I haven't heard anything from her. I thought at least I would have got a phone call or something, but never got that one either, and I was just kind of wondering what the heck was going on. But I guess we'll find out soon enough. So we have another caller in the queue, so let's go to her and see what's up. Area code 480, welcome to the show, and how are you? And say hello to April.
Hi, April.
Hi.
Hi. My name's Vicky.
Vicky, where are you calling from, Arizona?
Yes, you know the area code.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say this. I'm not trying to be mean or nothing, but there was a friend of mine who I haven't heard from in a while who can drive you crazy. And her,
yeah.
I was kind of worried it was her.
Oh, no. So you were putting me off in fear.
Well, actually, I was trying to figure out who it was, too, because the last lady, she told us who her name was. So I was like, okay,
That's funny. No, I'm not her. But anyway, but I love it here in Arizona. There are some really cool people here.
Mm-hmm. So who is Sheila? Are you Sheila?
No. Actually, in chat, I'm Gun Girl.
Oh, you're Gun Girl. Okay.
I'm Gun Girl. It's my career and hobby. I'm a shooting instructor. I train and certify armed guards for the state of Arizona. I'm a competition shooter. I review products for people. Yeah,
really?
That's what I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And I teach women self-defense, how to disarm, how to keep yourself safe. You know, I do a bunch of things. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do photojournalism. For right now, I'm doing it for shooting magazines and gun
mm-hmm.
manufacturers. But yeah, do you know me? You're kind of sounding like you might know me.
Do I know you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was actually looking at the queue. Not on the queue. I'm sorry. I was looking in the chat room and I was trying to figure out who was. You know, because, I mean, the last thing she called in, and Sheila, well, I was talking to Sheila, and it was Trish, and I thought Trish was going to call in, but then someone said that wasn't Trish, and I'm like, okay. There was someone in the chat room that said they were going to call in named Trish, and I was like, okay, but nothing.
Yeah, I see Trish Stevens in chat. I see her, but I don't know. Do you want me to hold
mm-hmm.
so you can get to somebody else?
No. It wasn't
somebody
that.
Else first?
I can't. Hold on.
Oh.
Nobody else has called in. That's what I'm saying. I was a little confused. I heard some people. I said, why don't you call in, get a reading, get a session? I kind of just the whole thing. Then it was somebody in the chat who was actually talking about wanting to get a personal reading with me, which I was going to try to tell that person, Sheila, if she really wanted to do that, that I would be available after the show.
I don't
if
know.
She wanted. Okay. And with the situation, that kind of thing. Well, we're not trying to sit here and go crazy or nothing like that, sweetie. I'm just going to look at the situation and say, okay, after all the conversation, did you tell us your first name?
Vicky.
Vicky, yes, you did tell us.
Yeah.
Also, is April still there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, everybody say hi to everybody, and let's get to the situation of I'm pretty sure you called in to ask a couple questions, and so that's what we're here for, to ask you a couple questions and give you a nice story for each one of them. Anyway, I hate to say it that way, but some of these, I was sitting there talking to some of my friends, and I was like, I don't try to get so detailed into things, but sometimes with a situation that I think we have to understand in the process of messages coming through, that once
mm-hmm.
the message comes through, I think we need to just sit down and relax and let the whole message come through.
Okay.
So, Vicky, what can we help you with today?
Well, I am really in the middle of a bunch of turmoil, turbulence in my life. Some really, truly bad things have happened to me. And, you know, despite everything, I've tried to remain hopeful and strong, and I'm doing a pretty darn good job at it. But,
mm-hmm.
I used to get what I called messages. I used to get them, and I really clung to them. I was like, okay, I know that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to go towards. And I haven't gotten them lately. And I think it's because I've just been so focused on my now ex-husband. He had problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so focused on everyone else's needs the past 10 years that all my personal messages to me stopped. And
mm-hmm.
I'm at a point now where there really, really is so much going on. I have so much pull in me in different career fields where I could really do more with my career. I have some big opportunities, but I,
mm-hmm.
it's like, which one do I really pursue? It's almost like having five projects, but and everyone's saying they're all good, but one will pay off better than the other. And I need money. I mean, I obviously we all do. You know, we have to earn a living, and I am alone. So,
mm-hmm.
And I'm just not getting any messages on my own anymore. When I'm really at a point where I could use some. So I guess I'm calling because I could really use a message for me.
Okay.
And also maybe just another part of that is why am I not hearing them anymore myself?
No, it's a situation of transient format, perception. It's like, how do we put that? It's like looking at things and saying the idea of needing money. You don't need money. But you do need to focus on exactly what you want to do. And there's certain things that you've been doing a lot of. It's like taking a look at your life and saying, okay, I've accomplished all these things, and how did I do that? You'll actually trace it, but more likely back to a thought that turned into a reality. So therefore, it wasn't the money.
Mm-hmm.
It was the idea of realizing once you put that thought out there, it attracted everything to you and the money itself. So the situation
yeah.
and kind of stuff like that. When we start focusing, seriously, when we start focusing, and the one thing I try to do, and I had a tough time with this for a long time, was society is the worst because they'll keep reinforcing that fear. I was living in this
mm-hmm.
apartment up here. I was living in an apartment up here, and I would come downstairs, and I got behind on my rent. But what I kept on focusing on was living my life, just kept going and going. And I knew this, as long as I focus on keep on moving forward, that everything was going to fall into place, even that deficit and the whole thing. I just didn't want to focus on the word deficit or debt because all I was going to do
yeah.
was that thought was going to attract more. So I would come downstairs
yeah.
and go out and do my thing. Well, one day I was leaving the apartment complex and I ran into my landlord. And he looked at me, he's like, does anything bother you? I said, no, why should it? And he was like, well, you do realize you're behind the rent, right? And I said, yes, I do. I said, but what do you want me to do about it? You want me to sit there and focus on...
Mm-hmm.
focus on the fear of and not having no rent, or you let me take that energy and go out and get your money? And the guy looked at me like, well, I want you to go and get my money.
Yeah.
He said, I like your philosophy. See, that's what I'm saying. The guy liked my philosophy to the point where
yeah.
he said, that's a good idea. But you know what, how it's happened? The guy never bothered me again. And I was behind the rent a couple more times, too. He just, you know, it's like you put your thing out there and you focus on it. Not just the idea of focusing on your perception, but also living it. When you live it,
yeah.
that's the action will bring everything and anything to you. I mean, when you look at the cards, the thing I got here was a heart-to-heart talk conversation. Now, we could look at that as a conversation with a spouse or a relationship because it's one of my lover's cards. But when I look at it, that's how we read cards. That's how we do readings, okay? We sit and look at these things and we go,
right.
this is the way it is. This is a card about
mm-hmm.
love. But it's also the level, the heart-to-heart is also the love for oneself. And when we have that lack of self and we have a lack of belief in ourselves, that's when the world starts getting confusing and we don't understand what's going on, when what we need to do is go and look within ourselves. Because I read this thing the other day where it says, it's not our job to go seeking love. It's our job to go within ourselves to remove the barriers against it, what's keeping us from
yeah.
getting it, to make sure that when we do attract it, there's nothing in the way of actually experiencing the full experience. And this here says, and on this discussion... honestly, discuss your feelings with each other. But this card here, to me, represents you as having a heart-to-heart talk with yourself of saying, okay, maybe the reason I'm having a hard time with things that kind of stuff because the parameters and my wants, needs, and desires have changed.
Yeah. You know,
can I?
I don't know. I don't mean...
Go ahead. I was picking up some stuff, too. I don't know how accurate it is, but... I was picking up that a lot of other people's problems are, I think that's part of your job is dealing with other people's problems. Are you a therapist?
No, but people do come to me often. I used to be in that field. I used to be a grief counselor. And,
And then, like,
I got out of it because
you
it was eating me up. I took everybody's problems home with me.
Now you're like in clerical work.
Clerical?
Or administrative?
No, not really. I run my own shooting company. And photo journalism, I write for people. Yeah.
Yeah, she's the mayor.
I saw you.
Yeah, and I'm also recently through a divorce. And because of that divorce, I'm alone here now in a state. I moved to the state to be with him. And I'm alone with two huge dogs. And this is part of my concern. I love these dogs, and they're all I have. I really don't have family, and I don't have friends here. And now I'm looking at getting a smaller place, and I'm just so worried about my dogs. And people think it's silly, but these dogs are my family. They're the ones that I've talked to when I've had nobody else.
Oh, no problem.
I know I could get rid of them. I'm not a dumb woman. I could get rid of them if I had to. But I don't want to have to. So I just know that if I make the right decisions down the road, I won't have to do that.
That's
and I just don't know what the right decision is.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because
you're living
I am alone.
Don't allow the world to creep in. Because in the process of making us emotional, we're allowing them to, in some words, we're allowing those to come in to hurt us because we don't want to let go of the whole thing. But if you sit and look, that's how the world is. The world is always looking for something they have to give up in order as a solution. And that's not the solution. The solution is the ideal of saying, I have these certain parameters and I'm not changing them. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to get. And this is what I deserve. And that's the word, deserve. This is what you deserve.
Just like putting
okay?
that out. This is, yeah, just putting it out there, feeling it, believing it, putting
you're
it
attracting
out there.
People, you're attracting people who have a tendency to denounce and want you to compromise. But you got to look at their lives. That's what they do. They compromise, and they don't realize you're the example, not them.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a card you could pull for me? Or
we got rid of all those cards.
Pardon?
I said, no, we got rid of all those cards. And, you know, that was the last caller, but, you know. She actually called in ahead of time. She gave us $10 to use those cards, so, you know. I did that the other day. I was up there working. I was walking up the incline, this mountain thing we climb over here, and I'm coming up here. I'm going up, and there's one guy. I'm not even coming down, and the guy looked at me and he said, "Tell her this is not as hard as it is." He said, "This is easy." He said, "She just has to keep doing it, right?" I looked at him, and he basically just looked at me and said, "Tell her it's not as bad as it seems." I said, I looked at her and I said, "It's not as bad as it seems." But you know something? I saw him earlier down in one of the restaurants for breakfast, and he gave me $10 to say that. So you have a good day. And they both started laughing, and I started laughing, and I said, "You know something? Just by making that one statement and joking with them, she might find it hard, but I guarantee she'll make it to the top now." So it's like looking at a situation and pulling a card for you. I can sit here and say, we could actually be really funny about it. So, okay, we got three decks. Which one do you want? But I already pulled that one card for you, which was actually heart to heart. But I have no problem pulling
okay,
that one.
Yeah, okay, I got that now. I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to something that you're feeling, not that you actually pulled the card. Okay.
Oh,
okay. I used to get clear messages. I have a 6-year-old daughter that passed away from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote a book helping other people.
That was
kind of
weird.
And I was
anyway.
On Oprah. What was weird?
You were on
Oprah? I told him that someone near you had cancer, but he never said anything. But
No, I saw it too. I was going to say something, but we got caught with this conversation and stuff, and it was just, picking up things.
I used to
get
messages from her, and she would send me a number.
I know why. It's because your energy isn't flowing. It's like stagnant. All you have to do is visualize your energy flowing again, and then the messages will come through.
Yeah, because I saw the same thing with separation. Separation was actually from your ex. And to put it to you like this, okay, there's still some energy and some, I guess you would call them entanglements. That's what I call them, but they're like cords, smaller cords, but they still attach and they still exist and they're still attached to you. because, and not because of him, but more or less the situation and the drama and everything else that went along with it. Where you, it's like, you know, you almost want to sit there and do the thing where you want to see Archangel Michael, not just take his sword, but it's almost like taking a big old metal covenant and just come over the top of you and just, you know, separate you from the whole thing until they learn to let go of you.
Yeah. See, he told me that he believed my daughter sent us together, and I thought that. And we told everybody how my daughter sent us to each other. And so then when he left me so soon and just after moving me out here and everything that he did to me it was like just tarnishing everything. It was like, how could you say that and not even try? And I don't know. And and he did. She always used to send me a number, and ever since he left me, I don't see that number anymore either. And it was almost a joke. Mm-hmm. It was insane how often she always used to send me a certain number.
Mm-hmm.
It was a joke to everyone because they're like, we can't believe that. That's just insane. And now I don't even see that number anymore.
Well, it's kind of a crazy situation anyway when it comes to exes and that kind of things where, you know, I feel like with those situations, all those things did happen and they were meant to happen for a reason. But we also have to look at the situation and go, okay, those people are like this. They want something. God said, okay, here you go. And then they slapped God in the face and said, no, I don't want it now. And that's the most selfish thing I've ever seen anybody do who has manifested something so great, so powerful. And then they sit there and say, nope, I don't want it right now. So that's the key to helping people understand that you can meet your soulmate and your twin flame, but if they're not in a good place, they could actually work against you in the process of never getting what you want until you actually take a walk and take a step away from it and realize that in all those situations, I guess you could say there's always a standby because we're not meant to. I mean, we're in a situation where we're supposed to be with somebody. Sometimes it's just a realization of what is true love is when somebody actually has a tendency to give you back what you want without even asking, without even knowing it, because the idea of taking care of each other just spontaneously happens. It's not something you ask for. It's something that you ask yourself, okay, what do you want, need, desire? And the process of having faith in those things. But once they happen, then you have to learn to let go and just live it. And this person that you're talking about wanted to control everything. And I've seen the same thing with my life, too, where you meet somebody, it just gives you shivers, and you just know for a fact that this person was supposed to be a major part in your life.
Yeah.
Just because
I mean,
they decided
I believe
not
that.
To. I'm just saying, just because they decided not to do it doesn't make us any less of a person. It only makes us less of a person if we continue to keep feeding into it. I've heard this a couple times, too, where this lady said, yes, he beats me. He does this, he does that, but we're soulmates. Whoopty, free to do. It's also, I read this today, too, where it said, if a person doesn't trust you, more likely they don't trust themselves. If a person doesn't respect you, more likely they don't respect themselves. But also the situation, if you continue to allow it to happen, then you're only disrespecting yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying, let's look at the situation and just go, okay, this is what's going on. You have got a time that's opening up big time for you, okay? And sometimes with a situation like April said, I believe what she says too, the cleansing and letting go thing, and you know, letting go of that energy and this whole situation where I saw the metal thing come over the top of you and say, okay, it's almost like I saw this, it's a big metal thing that comes over the top of you that separates you from everything, but it also has a big old mirror on the outside of it. You know what that is? For everybody to see what they've done, to see themselves. So they leave you alone and realize, okay, everything that's happened is because of their own actions, their own decisions, their own interactions, and whatever they did, okay? But also at the same time, it separates you from everybody right now. So you can't communicate with anybody.
Yeah.
They want you to start trusting yourself and what you feel within yourself. A lot of times people have a tendency to, we focus on spirit and the God and the angels and people working with us, but those, you can't be a great channel unless you realize that you are a great person. So therefore, they're working through you because they love you unconditionally. They want you to do the same thing for yourself, okay? So the situation of clearing all these things out is simply clearing out the situations of people who have been battering you, telling you all the things that you should do. And just say, okay, now it's time for me to do what I got to do and say, okay. Because the one thing I've noticed a lot, too, say with women that I've worked with, is we're all scared to death to look like we're mean people by speaking our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that speaking one's mind is also a learning experience for them too, as much as it is for us to realize things about ourselves. And if it's never spoken, not just the person that you didn't speak it to doesn't learn anything, neither do you, because it's like you're inside.
Mm-hmm.
When I do readings all the time, like I said, when I told you that one card, people will look at that, mm-hmm. just pull it back out again, tails kind of fight, there it is. Where it says heart-to-heart conversations, honestly discuss your feelings with each other. And it's like, look at the situation of sitting down with yourself and saying, you know something, this person said I could give my dog. And it says, what do you feel that you should do? Not to sound like not to sound like William Shatner or nothing. Spock, okay. But that's kind of like a big difference. But I was, I just noted that kind of sound like William Shatner for a minute. But it's basically saying heart-to-heart is very important for a lot of people to do. And say, okay, sit down and go, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to live here? No. Then what do you want? Simple as that. Have a conversation with your angel.
That's the big thing. I'm torn between two places to live. And one is a bigger place that will allow me more room with me and my dogs, and I don't have to get rid of some sentimental furniture. But it's a worse area of town. The other place, for more money, is a smaller place. I have to get rid of stuff. And me and the dogs, I have two dogs that are the size of Great Danes. We'll be tripping over each other. And I want to take the place in the worst part of town that gives me more room. And everyone's telling me, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You've got a nice car. You've got this. You've got that.
Right, let's focus on the dogs. What's the dogs want? The dogs are like, hey, if we got to live in a small place and trip over each other, at least we're still here.
Yeah. But it would drive me crazy, though, tripping over them.
Sometimes you got to make a small move to get to the big old place where you really want to be at. But I feel like you still have a third choice coming up. So it's like, just keep our eyes open and look at the situation.
Are you saying three? Because I've been hearing three, like, the last 3 days.
There's a third option because the first thing came to me was when
you're telling me that.
No, listen. I was sitting there focusing on something popped into me when I was looking. I was a partner in a shop that I didn't trust the lady I was working with. I was making buku bucks, you know. And everybody says, you don't want to leave there. So you can't trust her. But why would you want to leave? Because you're making money. I said, that's not my main goal. My main goal is to help people. If I feel like I got to look over my shoulder every time I turn around, I can't be really doing really good work with my clients because I'm always thinking somewhere else. I need something where I can actually get back that focus completely on what I was doing. So I would walk by this, I was walking down the street, and I'd always see this one freaking door all the time. And then slowly, it would keep getting brighter. The little aqua door kept getting brighter and brighter. I'm like, yeah, but it's too small, and I had this expectations of a big shop and three other psychics and working with partners and stuff like that. And my angel sent me down and said, you know something? What do you want to do? I said, well, honestly, I just want to do readings. And they go, why do you need a big old space then for? Why don't you just sit there and get something that's yours. Nothing. There will be no expectations, nothing to worry about except for what you do and what you don't do. So I sat there and I saw that blue door again. And it was like, this place, I mean, I went from a nice little space, you know, 600-700 feet to this space was like 5 feet by 6 feet. It was very small, but it had a nice little split door. But it wasn't until I actually put myself in the position of actually getting that job, I didn't just walk into the situation of getting it. I actually told those people what I wanted to pay them, and they agreed. So I knew that was the right direction because they started telling me things and stuff and said, okay, great. Good job, my friend. It's working out good for you. And they're going to fall into place, and you're going to have a great time. So I said, okay. So I did. And I put myself into it, and there was a nasty-looking sink in there. I turned into a bookshelf later on. The split door came in handy because I could actually, on cold days, I didn't have to open the door. I could just open the split part, and I found a nice little Indian blanket, started doing readings. So it was like one of those things. A lot of things didn't come to the forefront until I actually put myself into the situation.
Yeah. I know to some people it's just stuff, too. And I know, I mean, I'm not stupid. I would get rid of stuff if I had to, but to get into the nicer place that's smaller and in a good part of town, I would have to do stuff like I'd have to get rid of my daughter's dresser that I kept, and she picked it out herself and called it her princess dresser. You know, I'd have to get rid of my grandmother's hutch that I've been keeping.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to get rid of stuff that has real sentimental value because other stuff, couches, entertainment center, that's not important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm sure
Change the format. You know, stop watching television.
Yeah.
Don't need a television stand anymore.
Hey.
All I can do is go to this dresser.
Remember, I'm alone here. I'm alone. TV keeps
me company. Well, I'm just saying, it's one thing you don't give up. You just turn it into something else. Okay?
You're right.
And take the dresser that you thought was sentimental with this. Make a television stand out of it because it's actually a little higher and doesn't put so much pressure on your neck. But I'm just saying that there's solutions abound. Solutions are everywhere. It's like a fantastic thing where you just want to help everybody. I've been kind of like hiding out for the last 2 days because I just haven't really been feeling like dealing with anybody right now. But also I got a card that said, retreat. You need to separate yourself from the world. And even when I separate myself from the world, I don't want to, but I know I need to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about having respect for ourselves, to realize we need to do certain things for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
because that's just going to benefit us. It's going to benefit everybody else too as well. Even to the point of actually taking some of the stuff instead of getting rid of it and just invest in a nice, I did this for a while too. I invested in a storage space and just put some things in that I wasn't ready to give up just yet. Found a nice, secure place, nice place that would actually be beneficial to my stuff where the elements wouldn't be on it too. Because I've seen a lot of storage spaces where I'm like, is that daylight? I can see out the back of this freaking thing. Oh yeah, it used to be a shed one time.
Yeah.
I think it used to be a nice looking thing.
Now, and then it's just paying more money, though. It's like for the money you're paying for a storage shed, you could maybe get the bigger place, you know.
Well, that's true, too. But like I said before, there's options here, but also the same thing I said before. I'm not telling you there's a third option because it makes you feel better. It's you have the deal of saying, you have the deal of opening up your mind and saying, okay, a third option. Because, sometimes we do have a tendency to cut off these things from everybody because we're too focused on the two things. When we focus on the two things, we're cutting off that energy, and we're just like when two people. I would say this before with relationships, where people are like, I got these two guys. Which one is it? Which one is it? Which one is it? And it's realistically neither one of them. But they're so focused on the situation, the third person who actually would walk into the situation and give them everything the two guys had and in some, they wasn't open to them because they just so dead bent on the whole thing, saying this is the guy, this is it, right here. Isn't it crazy how things keep popping in? Yeah.
I don't, like my daughter, the number that she used to show me all the time was the number 44, and it was our number. And I just haven't seen that lately, but the last 3 days where I've really been focused on looking for an answer, I keep hearing and seeing the number 3. That's
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a number person. I look for stuff like that. I look for what I call signs. Yeah, so there's probably a third option out there, or just speaking-wise, that I'm too focused on what I think are my only two options when I'm not thinking outside of that, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, it's one of the things. Just open up your thinking and say, okay, open up your thinking, and then you'll see something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I really appreciate your time. I'm sorry if my area code freaked you out, but it's a large area code.
It's one of the situations where, like, some people, you know, you don't. You're not a person that doesn't like anyone. It's just that some people are just harder to deal with than others, and you're just like,
yeah.
Oh. She hasn't called in a while, and I was trying to tell her she needed to snap out of things and really just let things go, and to the point where when you set parameters are like this, okay? If you're a woman who's thinking about an engagement ring as the important part of a relationship, then you're going to find a guy who's materialistic, and you're never going to have any kind of. And it's because I always tell people, you're going to build a foundation, a relationship on money. When the money's gone, there's no foundation. So therefore, you feel lost. I had a girlfriend like that. She was like saying the things that she missed about a certain person. And every time you hear her say something, it was either a trip or something you bought for or something on that kind of thing.
Yeah,
or just
dinners out.
Yeah, so you're sitting there going, you didn't miss the person. Yeah. You miss all the things she did for you. And then when you trace that person's life back, you'll start realizing each insecurity that she had, she attracted a man to fulfill that, to take care of it when it was her job And that's why those insecurities still exist.
Yeah.
I was like, man.
Yeah, I'm turning 47 here, and I'm really beginning to wonder if I'm ever even going to find a man that understands love.
All right, I got some for you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Book. I want you to try this book out. I tried this book out. This book's fantastic, okay? Not as well.
Okay.
I keep thinking. I keep forgetting I'm not on a phone call, so I can take my time. I have some companies I work for where I'm always kind of like a little rushed because I'm scared they're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get the information out. But here it is.
I have my pen and paper.
I got these books, okay? Now I tell people, if you don't get the information, just go to my website and go to the page.
Okay.
There's a page on my website that's actually got all the books I recommend, okay?
Okay.
And back to this one book I've got here. If you're looking for an easy way to go and just get to a certain place to order it, I actually have a link on there where you can just click on it.
I'll do it through your site. Which one?
The website is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And
okay, I've already got that bookmarked.
And I want to tell everybody who's in the queue, I can still take your questions 15 minutes after the show's over with. So stay right where you're at. And if I don't get to you, I will call you after the show's over with. I will definitely give you an opportunity, one way or the other, to get a couple questions answered. So just stay right where you're at. And if you don't get on there, you'll definitely be hearing from me. So I'm telling you ahead of time. So when I call you, you don't freak out. Because I'm going to get to everybody. I'm going to answer all the questions. That's what we do on the show. And then when we start getting more, let's put it this way. When the donations start coming in and I really start getting some more readings through my website, I'm going to increase this show to 3 hours. And we'll be able to stay on an hour after the shows are with answering questions. So I give everybody a chance to get a question in, okay? So donate to the show, and please give me a call for a private reading, because I guarantee you, and this might sound crazy to some people, but that's how much I've been working at this for a very long time. I guarantee if you sit down and get a reading with me, it'll be one of the best readings you ever had, okay? Also, sweetie,
love to do that, yeah.
Okay, I'm available at the show. I'm always available at the show or before the show, and I always tell people this. Go ahead, sweetie. Am I advertising too much? Anyway.
No, I was just saying that I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure that all your listeners here, too, would love to have private calls afterwards. It would be more than willing to donate to have private readings with you because you're awesome.
Oh, thank you. But this book here is called The Soulmate Secret, Manifesting the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. It's by a lady named Ariel Ford. Now, the girl you heard on the show earlier, April, that's my girlfriend.
Aw.
She is one of these fantastic, fantastic women. And the idea of doing the techniques in this book is the reason I feel like in some way she's still with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just one of those things where it's fantastic that now it's one of those things we do have some trust issues. But, you know, in the situation, when you're in relationships and that kind of stuff, there are going to be issues. And when you can confront those to actually get to that side and trust each other unconditionally, that's the whole thing about even getting to the point of actually loving each other even more. Because it's one of those things of letting down your own resistance. In the process of letting down your resistance, you just don't help yourself to get that trusting point, but also someone trusts you. And also, it's like being vulnerable. Vulnerable is very important to relationships.
Yeah.
It's like you want to smack guys. I don't want to do that. Then go hang out with some coal, okay, my friend? Because if you're going to do that, all you're going to do is hurt people because you're scared and you won't allow things to be. And plus, you're hurting you.
My exes love me. They think I'm wonderful and want to be my best friend, but they just don't stick around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and my father's left me, my stepdad's left me, and then both of my husbands left me. And so I'm just wondering if I'm just the kind of person that people bail on. You know, what is it ever going to take? Because I'm 47 now, but I'll look at that book. I would love to read it. I will look it up on your site.
I'm sorry. I was sitting here. April sent me a message where she was kind of like, she had already told me about the cancer, about your friend and cancer.
Yes, my daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, she picked up on that, and she was telling me that there was somebody close to you that was a woman that was the cancer, and I was like, I never got a chance to say anything about it, because every once in a while, when she's not too sure, she'll type it to me first. And
yeah.
I was like,
so
okay,
she has a gift.
Yeah, she's very talented. And then we just, and everybody tell her that too. Because she has a tendency to just a little bit of doubt. But she's,
yeah.
you know, there's, I told her all the time that you can't always be 100% accurate. And not because we can't read ourselves or the whole thing. The point is we're doing readings for people who are human. And a human factor has a tendency to make us make decisions accordingly, where people would see, perceive us as not being 100% right. When it's actually when you tell someone to turn left, they turn right, and they're going to blame you first.
Right.
So I
or should I say left?
Right. It's just one of those things, like I told her before, it's just getting the strength with the whole situation of saying, okay, this is the way it works. I have confidence in what I'm doing, so therefore... It's just respecting everybody's opinion and everybody's perceptions. And so, okay,
let
this is how you
feel. Let her know that everybody in my family passed away from cancer. I'm the only survivor, including my own daughter. So she really was picking up on that.
Mm-hmm. Wings of life. I was in there also. Oh, shoot. Okay. No, I was. What I do is when we get down to this freaking show, where I've actually stopped recording, I mean, stopped broadcasting, we're still recording, I start writing numbers down right away. Because it's amazing.
So the show isn't live anymore?
No, but what happens is when people go back in the archives, they'll hear everything you say, so it will be live. So it's not the same thing.
I got it.
Yeah, but, you know, one of the things we talk about, we've had a couple of shows where we forgot all about that. We were talking about some things. That got really explicit, and we were pointing out certain things. Like I was talking about there's a certain sexual position that two people can actually do to actually prove that they're soulmates or twin flames. And we got into details about what that was.
Wow.
I was like, oh shoot, are we still recording? Because when you pay for the premiums and the premium pluses and the pro shows, you can actually record up to an hour after the show's over with. And we forgot all about it, so we're sort of going, hello. I said, I think we should do this right now. But, you know, I try to take the whole subject and go, I'm sure if someone's listening to this right now, it's helping them. When I was on a random, I used to pull cards for people. We have a nice chat room on there, too, before they choose to do a private reading with us. And I was sitting pulling cards out, and they go, who's that card for? I said, you know something? I did this on my radio show. One night we didn't really have a lot of callers. So I started pulling cards for people in the chat room. We would pull one card for each person, right? We would shuffle the cards, and then we'd tell them to stop shuffling, cut the deck, or whatever. And then we'd give them a card. Well, what happened was, out of six people, the same card came up every time.
Wow.
It didn't matter how many times I shuffled the deck. I shuffled it. I told them to shuffle it 30 times this time, so I shuffle it, and the same card would come up every time. And I said,
what
it says career change. It was career transition, and it was Archangel Shamuel. And I told everybody the card Shamuel is a very important card. And Archangel, because Archangel Shamuel is the axiom angel of love, and the way we perceive things about love and that kind of stuff. I said, why would it be on a career transition card? Because realistically what it's saying is you should be going in the direction of what you love to do and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of making a living, start making a life and start living what you really want to do. And everybody in the room said, in some kind of format, either they were thinking about changing jobs, they were changing jobs, or they had just changed a job. So the card fit everybody in the room. That's when we started realizing the format that we were doing, why it was so important and all the things that were going on. And then also we were sort of looking at some of the callers and saying, well, shit, we've gone down from like 95 callers or 95 people listening or whatever down to 14, 15, 16. And my angels came in and said, you're broadcasting to all the people who need to hear it.
Yeah.
And don't worry about it, because it's almost like saying, you think that you're looking at things right now. You're living in a hotel room. You're trying to get the transition part of your life out and trying to get things going too, right? Yes. Well, you're going to sit there and wish one day that you had time or downtime like you have now. You know, it's the ideal of what you're doing right now is practice for when things happen, that when you need to retreat from the world, you retreat from the world.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how crazy or chaotic, you cannot let everybody else be more important than you are, as in the sense of what you're doing. As they're important, and so are you, but it's also equal. There has to be balance there.
Right.
It's like the idea. We were starting to talk about well, between giving and receiving. And I sit here and ask the question one day. I say, okay, which of these two is more important, giving or receiving? And most people, a lot of people said receiving, and some people say giving. And when I sit here and said,
yeah.
No, you're all wrong, it's actually equally, they're both equally important. One without the other, it doesn't work. And sometimes people try to realize a lot of things too that night, saying, okay, I thought giving is your spiritual and receiving is materialistic, when it's the ideal that when you give, there's going to be someone to give them back. And if you're not open to receive it, then they have no avenue to give.
Yeah.
So it's very important. And
I
plus
hear
people
you.
Will go, well, I'm just saying, when your prosperity gets shut off, there's a balance. There's an imbalance somewhere. It's either because you're too structured and you don't flow enough, or you flow enough and you're not structured enough, not realizing they're equally important too. Being and doing have to have a balance. Receiving and giving balances, because all those things, when they don't have balance within them, you lose your prosperity. It shuts the gate off. So therefore, think about those things. Because even the process of giving too much, realistically, you can throw the whole thing off.
That makes sense.
You start feeling worthless. You start thinking, okay, I keep giving. No one's giving back. But if you're not really allowing it to happen, then realistically, it's a balance within yourself. Giving and receiving. See, you give yourself love, but you have to be open to receiving it too as well, which reflects everyone you come in contact with.
Yeah. I have a lot to think about. We all do, though, really, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go on to your website tomorrow and order that book and make a donation, too. But also, if you don't mind, my daughter wrote a book to help other kids. It's not just kids, it's for everybody, but she wrote it for kids going through cancer, going through chemo and radiation. Her book is published, and it's distributed through hospitals throughout the United States and military hospitals abroad. But being that April picked up on my daughter with cancer, I'd really like to maybe send you guys one of her book, if you wouldn't mind.
No problem, yeah. Just, you know. Yes.
So, I'll contact you through the website and see where I can send that book so that April can kind of see the face of someone that she picked up on.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. I appreciate that. And yes, I would appreciate that. I was actually going to say, if you want to, you can give us all the information. I'll actually put it on my website, and then from time to time here, we can actually promote it on the show.
That would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really do appreciate you taking the call, since the area code did scare you at first.
That's okay. We got
I feel a lot better about things, and I think I have a plan. So I'm just going to focus and think about myself and what I'm wanting, and have a heart-to-heart with myself and figure out what I need
for
me.
Alrighty.
So,
well, thank you for calling. I really appreciate it. And like I said, I tell everybody anymore. So I like to ask people and say, hey, sit down and do a private room reading with me sometime. But now it's just one of those things that's saying, everybody, don't become a stranger and check in with us from time to time and see how things are going with your life. And if you want to, be glad to have you on as a guest too as well.
That would be awesome. I would love it.
All right.
I will be in touch then. Okay.
Okay.
It's a deal.
All right. Okay.
You have a great night.
You too. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. All right. Gotta watch those clicky things, huh? There we go. Let's go to area code 386. 386 is actually, if I'm not mistaken, is in Florida.
Yes, hi. Hi, Donnie. How are you doing? It's been a long time since I talked with you.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Things are a lot better. I just moved to a new place, and I got a new man. So he's a Virgo man. And so I was just calling to see what do you pick up in general about the, you know, my new situation, and if, you know, am I going to, you know, maintain this everything that's new, new area.
What you need to do is you need to sit there and look at the situation for what it is, okay? It's the ideal of not worrying. And the best way to keep yourself from worrying is to learn how to live it more, to enjoy exactly what's going on. You know, in the process, if you see a lot of happy couples, the reason they don't really worry about anything because they're too busy doing things for each other. So it's the idea of getting yourself back in the way you was before, because a lot of people do that. They get away from who they used to be in the process of giving, because when in the past we've given to people before, we have a tendency to take advantage of that or exploit us or just mean people, you know, that don't really appreciate, not themselves. They don't appreciate themselves. They don't appreciate you either. And I have to put that out there, too, because, you know, like I said before, when people don't respect you, that means they don't respect themselves. When people don't like you, more likely they don't like themselves. So, therefore, if you continue to keep yourself in those situations, you don't like yourself and you're being disrespectful to yourself. So the idea of honoring those things is to get out of it and get yourself in a good situation and go, okay, you are who you are, and allow yourself to be that person and give, give, give. Because, I mean, we had a couple people that was, I saw this in the chat room, I was working on a random, and they were saying, you know, love let me down. I said, love never let you down. It's that person you were with who didn't give back to you that what you were giving. So let's put blame where blame belongs. And it has nothing to do with love, has nothing to do with marriage, has nothing to do with relationships, period. It's the idea of looking at those situations and learning about ourselves and what we are allowing ourselves to be subjected to, that we're not going to do that anymore. But it's okay to still be yourself and still continuously give. So the first thing I picked up on you was have a heart-to-heart conversation with yourself too as well. I have to go with that because that's the card I pulled out of here, okay? Just to make sure and clear. It says, honestly discuss your feelings with yourself. Also, with yours is a little bit different, okay? The last lady, she's not in a relationship yet, okay? So the heart-to-heart is with herself. With you, it's a heart-to-heart. It starts with you. And then you sit down with your boyfriend, and it's a constant keeping the conversation open, communicating with each other to make sure you're both on the same page. And not being scared to do that. Because if you come to a point in a relationship where you're scared to say something to somebody because you're scared of the reaction or the outcome, then it definitely needs to be said. And it needs to be discussed because there is some fear factors in there that I guarantee you sometimes it's the fear that keeps you from going down that road. And then when you talk to that person about those things, see, it was the fear that was the biggest thing. It was the problem, not the person. Then you find out the person wants to work with you. But the fear kept you from going there.
Do you pick up on this male and, you know, how he feels mm-hmm. about our relationship?
Well, it says here, the second card I pulled out was passion. It says allow your heart and your soul to sing with joy. So take it for what it is. See, sometimes with situations like this, too, the more if you hold back in some way, they have a tendency to pick that up, too. They'll hold back. But the more open you are, the more you let it out and say hello, hugs and kisses and that kind of stuff, and just express yourself, you'll be surprised. Maybe they don't come out as soon as you do, but they will. And it's the idea of truth. I get the impression that there's nothing to worry about here. It's just the idea of interaction. Allow yourself to be a part of the relationship instead of sitting back and questioning it all the time. I'm not being mean to you or nothing. I'm not saying that you're – I'm just saying we all have a tendency to step back sometimes. But sometimes we have a tendency to step back too long. It's time to, we get the answer. We know what's going on. But we usually get the answers more clear when we interact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You feel like this one will be long-term.
Let's see.
Hello?
Don't speak so fast. Take a break. Who the heck?
What?
I've never seen that in the chat room before. I typed a message said just saying thank you to everybody, and the thing came up and says, slow down, you're speaking too fast. I'm like, okay. I can't type that fast.
Wow.
Interesting, huh? All I'm saying, sweetie, is the idea of the situation. I think it's going to be a great relationship.
You see this being long-term?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I get yes. Yes, definitely long-term.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess I expressed some of the